And tonight, with the little time we have, I think what my goal is in this study, again, is not to get too far into the study, but I want to introduce the attribute of the Lord to just encourage our hearts as we get prepared to go to the Lord in prayer. And as we humble ourselves before Him, you'll remember last week we studied the self-existence of God. What title does someone want to remember in Scripture? What title does God use to describe Himself as the self-existing one? I am. I am the I am. He has always been. And we looked into the wonderful attribute there of the self-existence of the Lord God. And then tonight we're going to look at the transcendence of God. I'm going to read a few verses here. You can look up on the, you can look them up in your Bible too. They'll also be on the screens there projected. But I'm going to begin here with 1 Chronicles 29:11. 29:11, Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is Thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and Thou art exalted as head above all. We see there so clearly the transcendence of God, and I'll say more about that here in just a moment, but let's look at some more verses. What about Job 11? Job 11, chapter 11, verses 7 through 8. Canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? It is as high as heaven. What canst thou do? Deeper than hell. What canst thou know? Job 26:14. Lo, these are parts of his ways, but how little a portion is heard of him. But the thunder of his power, who can understand? And we read this verse. Let's say it together. Psalm 145:3. Would you say it with me? Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. Isaiah 55, a familiar passage to many of you, verses 8 through 9. He says here, For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. 1 Timothy, a verse in the New Testament that Tozer gave in his opening verses here. 1 Timothy 6:16 says, Who only hath immortality dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. As I studied the chapter for our lesson tonight, the lesson tonight of the transcendence of God, again, this is a subject that, again, I just feel so unqualified to speak on, but I tried to draw from the nuggets and apply them to my heart, how they've helped me. So I hope to express to you how they've helped me, and I hope it'll be a help to you. First of all, when we talk about transcend, let's understand what that is, a basic definition, at least when we talk about it biblically. What does the transcend mean? Well, in its truest definition, it means to be above. To rise above, to go above, and to be above. We understand that God is way above us. He's way higher than us. But what's interesting about the doctrine of transcendence, it's not just talking about, and it's not really even talking about geographically or astronomically. in the sense of space or distance, because God is omnipresent. Distance doesn't exist with God. God doesn't work with distance. And so I would like to define it as this. It speaks of the fact that we're talking about a quality of being. God is infinitely higher in his quality as a being, as an eternal being. Again, why? And we understand, as we talked last week, because as we first understand that, it's because he is the self-existing one. He's the creator. He's never had a beginning. He'll never have an ending. He's always been. We are the creation. And so, of course, he transcends his creation in his quality. And so when we come before a holy God, understanding what Scripture declares him to be in all his attributes, but he is far, infinitely and eternally far above that we can imagine or even think of. It's interesting because there seems to be what some would say a contradiction in Scripture, right? What would someone say there to be a contradiction to the transcendence of God? What would someone say? How does that make sense? If God's transcendent, then what would come to your mind in Scripture that might be a contradiction? Yes. How can he be with us? If he's transcendent, how can God, Emmanuel, how can he be with us? Because he's God, that's right. But it goes back to what I said previously. We're not talking about geographically in our context when we say he is above us. We're talking about the quality of his being. He is holy, 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 as the angels even have to cover their eyes in the praise of God Almighty. We're talking about how, yes, God does pervade. He's in all things, but he also transcends all things. And there is no contradiction because they are in perfect harmony with one another, God's glorious attributes. Someone wrote one time that God is nearer, even, again, speaking transcendence, but in his immanence, and there's no contradiction. God is nearer to us than our own breath. God is nearer to us than our own thoughts. God is nearer. He is, but he's also transcendent. He's also infinitely higher than us because he is God. So again, tonight, as we think about the Lord in this way, in the verses that we read, we're not saying that God is far above us in distance. We're talking about, as even the song said, holy, 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 in one of the verses, behold our God, there is none to be compared to our God. That's the idea of transcendence. There's no one like him. He's his own, if you will. He's his substance, his being is completely and wholly unique. And yet this transcendent God, as we just are thrilled as Bible believers here tonight, we recognize even in his transcendence, we understand his immanence. We're not going to talk about that tonight, but God in his transcendence condescended, he came down to this sin-cursed earth to bring sinful man and a holy transcendent God together back in a relationship. Hallelujah. The quality of God is so awesome. Words fail us, do they not? And here are three ways that I believe can help us tonight, practically speaking, when we think of the transcendence of God. If you want to take a few notes, let me give you these. Number one, the transcendence of God should strike all as it has for the angels and humans since their creation. It should strike all into our being of who God is. And now, don't get me wrong, not a sense of danger. Now, if you're doing something wrong, you might you might feel like you're in danger. Because I know that is a part of having a fear of God. But in its core, it's not talking about a sense of danger, but a sense of being in the presence of someone that's awesome. I mean, just like if we were invited to the White House, I mean, even going into the White House and the president's, Biden or President-elect Trump would come invite us into the room. I mean, we would come again. We wouldn't come casually, would we? Hell, what's up, Joe? What's up, Donald? No. I mean, if you're in your right mind, you're not going to do that. You're going to come in respectfully and just again with some reverence there for the position, the office. And again, just that idea, how much more should we be inspired by the awesomeness of God? Thinking about Him in our daily walk, that as we understand, He's just a wonderful God. You think of Abraham. Abraham, when he came into the presence of God in chapter 18, verse 27, I'm going to paraphrase here, but basically said, "Oh Lord God, I recognize that I am down with the dust right now. I feel like I'm of the same stuff of that's under my feet." You think of Daniel. Daniel had that moment too. He wanted to bury his head in the ground that he was so surrounded by the presence of God. We think of others, don't we? I mean, even Peter, Isaiah. Remember, "Woe is me, a man of unclean lips." You know, there was just an awe of God, of His greatness. And what I think this will do is it will help us to deter from just being flippant about our Lord. Secondly, I believe not only should it strike the transcendence of God, should strike all in our heart, a holy reverence for our God and an appreciation, but secondly, it should decrease the confidence that we have in our flesh. It should decrease the confidence we have in our flesh. I'm going to speak for myself here, but I'm way too confident of a person. I think I know a lot more than I do. I think I can do a lot more than I do. And we think we know a lot. And folks, I'm going to tell you, it's just straight up pride. We think we know why all these things are happening, or this is happening in this person's life, or I can do this, or I know better than that person. And it is, if we think about it, when we think about the transcendence of God, we almost put ourselves on the level of gods at times because of the wrong type of spirit. And we have to guard against that. And when we think of the transcendence of God, there's a need to recognize that we truly are very, very, very finite beings. And we are so very limited, and we are ignorant beings. He's made us intelligent beings, but we're also very ignorant. Let's not forget what the Lord Jesus and the Word of God relates, what animal God Almighty relates us to. What animal? Are sheep known for being very intelligent beings? No, the exact opposite. They're the dumbest animals on earth. They really are. You can't teach a sheep to sit. In fetch, or, you know, they get scared. They're so skittish, and all we like sheep have what? Gone astray, go our own way. And we are so prone. That's the flesh. That's when we're in the flesh. We are so weak, ladies and gentlemen. Brothers and sisters, we are utterly weak when we are functioning in the flesh. That's why we have to come humbly before Almighty Transcendent God and submit ourselves to Him so that He can direct our paths. So that He's in charge. So that He's anointing us to think like God thinks and to do what God would do and do the best we can, being led by the Holy Spirit. That is why we come humbly. But this arrogant confidence that we can so easily have, thinking we know better than everybody else, it's sin. And we need to just fall on the ground before a holy God and say, God, forgive me for my pride. It's like the one guy that was carrying a stick over his shoulder, and he had two bags. He had a bag in the front and a bag in the back. And they were both pretty full, but the one on the back was full. It's pretty full. And somebody asked him, "Sir, what's that you got carrying on your back?" He said, "Well." Back in the back is a bag of my faults, and the bag up here is other people's faults. He was picturing like we are so many times so full of pride. We got so much knowledge and so understanding of how everybody else falls short of the glory of God. We forget how much we fall short of a thrice holy God, the transcendent one. How arrogant for me to think that I know better than God. And we must humble ourselves. We don't, you know, that some would say, you know, well, why aren't we singing songs like Holy, Holy, Holy anymore in churches? I'm thankful we sing it. I'm thankful the songs we sing rich in doctrine on the greatness of who God is. And churches are getting away. Let's don't talk about how holy and righteous and awesome God is and talk about the doctrine of God. Let's just talk about how we can feel good in life. And let's just be honest, you know, when we think upon the holiness of God, it is humbling. And we just have to say humbly, Lord, You are so much higher. You see, I believe this when it comes to the transcendence of God. We can't be truly strong until we recognize how truly weak we are. How weak do you recognize your flesh being tonight? Do you feel like you measure up? You're a lot better than your neighbor or across the street. Do you feel like those people you see on the news, you're better than them, and or whatever the case may be, or the things you're going through? I mean, we got to realize ourselves as being, we're weak. And I believe that that's where Paul was referring to when he said, look, you're going to be your strongest when you recognize that you are weak indeed and that you need the Lord. Our strength is in the Lord. He is our refuge and strength. He is our strong tower. My help cometh from the Lord. Amen. I have no confidence in this flesh of mine. And when I think about the transcendence of God, it's going to decrease my confidence in my flesh. And it's going to strengthen my confidence and faith in Him. As we see people throughout the Word of God most certainly exhibited this truth. All right, last one. The transcendence of God should cause us to run to the cross of Christ. Run for the cross, brothers, sisters. We think of the transcendence of God. That is what He has put forth. That is what He's brought forth from eternity past to close the gap of being eternally separated from God. It is the cross. It is the bridge back to God through salvation, but not even through salvation, but every day. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I am able to be thoroughly right with God every day of my life if I choose to be. Just humbling myself, recognizing I fall short as a daddy, as a husband, as a pastor. I fall short as a neighbor. I fall short. I do. And I recognize that and I say, oh God, I need You. I need You, Lord. I can't do this. I want Your power on my life. I want the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And I can't do it, Lord. Many times I act like I can, and I'm sorry. I don't want to pretend. I want to be real, Lord. I want to be resting in You. Is it interesting to you that the lowest point possible that anyone could be, and now I'm speaking in the context of God, the lowest point that anyone could be, God Himself reached that lowest point so that we, in return, could reach the highest point. The point of God, that we could reach God, the immeasurable one. That's another thing of the transcendence of God. He's immeasurable. There are no measures with God. But He gives us the blessed grace. That's the word, isn't it, brother? Grace to come to Him. And I am thrilled tonight to know that the transcendent one, the holy, holy, holy one, has made a way for me to walk with Him daily and live in His strength and to live in His power. And this transcendent one lives in me. He lives in me. But I'll close with this statement, and I hope I don't confuse anyone with this statement, but just to give you an understanding, it's an analogy. The highest archangel is no closer to God in quality of being than a caterpillar. Why? We understand the function of an angel is certainly more in quality than a caterpillar. But the point is this: nothing compares to the greatness of God. You can't say an angel is closer to God in quality of being, because he's not. No one's close. Amen. What an awesome God we serve. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for the way of the cross. I thank You for the blessed assurance that Jesus saves. And thank You, Lord, we do pause. And we are in awe of You. We're so thankful that You have made a way. And I believe tonight we all agree that we fall infinitely short. And we don't even want to pretend, Lord, that we measure up. And God, I think all of us would probably say we don't come close to measuring up to You, but then sometimes we compare ourselves with others. That our being of quality is perhaps a little better. Oh God, forgive me. May we lower ourselves and humble ourselves before You, great God Almighty. And I pray that You would use this to change my heart and grow me in grace. And the precious folks here at Crooked Creek Baptist, Lord, thank You, Emmanuel. Thank You, Almighty God, for making Yourself available to us, sinful creatures that have been bought by the blood of Christ. Thank You. You're so very good. You are indeed awesome. So we pray these things, thanking You again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.